Jeff Taylor will offer our reading from the epistles this morning, Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. And following that, Gary Harder will bring us the message.
In our dealings with one another, can we take the approach that Jesus, the chosen one, took? He had always been in the same form as God. And yet, he did not insist on retaining the power and privileges of equal station with God. He gave up his godly power and poured his nature into a different form, our form. And actually, he assumed the most opposite station of that so-called Son of God he could by taking on the form of a low-ranking servant, serving even the likes of us. In fact, he went further than that. He humbled himself all the way to an execution on a Roman cross as a dangerous insurrectionist. And it is because of this, because Jesus was willing to sink so low, even into the garbage incinerator of souls to rescue some of our kind, that God raised him back to the land of living and beyond that, to the very highest station in the heavens. And God gave him a new name that ranks above every other name, so that, all in good time, every creature in the sky and on the land and in the seas will humble themselves before him and call out their confession, Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father.
Yes, may the grace of that Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The theme given for this Sunday is From Power Over to Power With. A bit of a playful sub-theme is of war horses and donkeys. From power over to power with, power. Power for good, power for evil, healing power, abusive power, the power of saviors, the power of abusers, and in today's story, the power of a donkey and the power of a warhorse. As I reflect on power, I think of that old beloved hymn that didn't make it into our new hymn book, one written by Bortnianski, who was born in the Ukraine. That hymn, O power of love, all else transcending, in Jesus present evermore. I worship thee in homage bending, thy name to honor and adore. Yea, let my soul in deep devotion bathe in love's mighty, boundless ocean. Bathe in love's mighty, boundless ocean. I love that image. Can it give us some sense of God's power, of the power of love in our very troubled world? We will sing that hymn at the conclusion of the sermon. On this Palm Sunday, our world mostly hears the thunder of war horses. Well, make that artillery shells and bombs and missiles and tanks and massacres, much more than it hears the gentle clip-clop of a donkey. We will get to the story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, but first we go to one of the other scripture readings assigned, one we did not read yet this morning. We need to go to Psalm 31. Hear in it the pain of the people of Israel and the pain of the people of the Ukraine and the pain of the people of our world. Be gracious to our world, O Lord, for we are in distress. Our eyes waste away in grief, soul and body also. Our life is spent in sorrow and our years with sighing. Our strength fails because of our misery, and our bones waste away, and there is terror all around. Psalm 31, 9 and 10. And in the middle of all that violence and suffering and despair in the world of the psalmist, in the world of Jesus, and in our world, we read a story of a donkey, an ass of all things, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, not on a war horse. Ah, the absurdity of how God works in our world, the absurdity of where power really lies. But permit just a touch of humor on this bleak worldscape. I suppose if Michelle could a few weeks ago focus a whole sermon around an angry, protective, clucking mother hen, I can risk crafting a sermon around a donkey. I probably should have consulted with Lori and Dora, who know donkeys far better than I do. Is a donkey always a symbol of peace? I kind of doubt that. What did jump immediately to my mind when I read the Palm Sunday story of Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem was that other donkey story told in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, the story of the speaking donkey. We think of braying donkeys, but this one speaks. And it's a great humor-filled story told in a very grim time, a Ukrainian invasion kind of time. I'm sure Jesus would have known that story and would have laughed out loud over the delightful absurdity of it. My hunch is that the Palm Sunday crowd accompanying Jesus on that ride into Jerusalem would also have been reminded of that earlier story and would have smiled and cheered in delight. The story? A wonderful tale of God using a donkey to foil the evil scheming of a terrified king. Moabite King Balak was facing a flood of Israelite refugees and feared that they would one day become powerful enemies. They were, after all, a rather prolific people. Moaned the king, a people have come out of Egypt. They have spread over the face of the earth and have settled next to me. And in his terror, Balak tried to hire the prophet Balaam to cast a curse on these Israelites. And he sent bags of gold to entice Balaam to go to Moab to cast his curses. Well, Balaam, being a praying prophet, prayed about this, and God said, no, don't do it. So at first, Balaam says no to Balak, who then promises him yet more gold, yet more honors, if only he will curse the Israelites. Finally, Balaam, overwhelmed by all the glitter of so much gold, agrees to do the cursing. But an angry and very ticked off God sent an angel with a sword to block the road. Balaam, the prophet, could not see the angel and the sword, the immense danger he was in, but his donkey could. The prophet, who officially is called the seer, couldn't see the angel, but his donkey could. Ah, the humor of God. Seeing the danger, the donkey veered off the field, and angry Balaam beats it. Next, the angel stood at a narrow point between two vineyards. And to avoid decapitation, the donkey scraped against a wall, hurting Balaam's feet. Well, now Balaam is getting very ticked off. Another whack. A third time, the angel stood with sword in hand at the narrowest place on the road, leaving no escape route. So the donkey just lies down. Furious, Balaam beats the donkey mercilessly. And suddenly the donkey gains the power of speech. Let me tell you who the real jackass is. I'm only trying to protect you from decapitation. And at that, Balaam's eyes are finally opened, and he too saw the angel and the sword. Finally, his eyes are opened, and he says, "How can I curse who God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced?" Finally, Balaam is ready to use his power as a prophet to work with his God and with his people. And visions of piles of gold fade away from his eyes. When will our world's eyes and our own eyes be opened to God's kind of power? When will we see what God is doing? Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem, and the crowd, those who remembered that earlier story, those who caught the symbolism, cheered and cheered. The Romans would have ridiculed this display of weakness. Power is displayed on a war horse. Donkeys are the symbol of weakness. Come Friday, and the world will know who has the real power. But maybe even the Romans are starting to get a bit nervous about this donkey thing. They are perplexed. It doesn't fit in with anything they know. They know war horses, not donkeys. And what perplexes and even shocks them is that for some crazy reason, cheering crowds are following this ridiculous figure riding into town on a donkey. There is a power there they don't understand. It defies everything they know about control and imposing your will and keeping order. And then there are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, the leading power brokers of the Jewish people. Their anxiety is that they too probably were reminded of that earlier story. They know about Balaam's ass. It scares them that Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on that symbol. They know what it means. It intensifies their haste to get rid of this upstart who is threatening all of their own power. The Zealots, especially known as the violent ones, their whole worldview is shaped by ingenious ways to kill off Roman soldiers. Violence is the only solution to injustice. They ridicule the pathetic image of a supposed savior humiliatingly riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the crowd? They are cheering. They're yelling, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven." They catch it. They celebrate it. They will embrace this kind of king. They can see what is unfolding before their eyes. Back to the Romans. They're a bit nervous, a bit on edge. They can't even imagine the scene they are witnessing. They know war horses. They don't know donkeys. And they don't understand all the power this Jesus has to draw such a crowd of people shouting Hosanna. They're a bit on edge, unsettled, anxious, not to let this absurdity escalate. They can't see beyond military power. And we too read this Palm Sunday story and ponder its relevance to our world, our violence-filled world. What is it that we see? What kind of power are we hoping for? Which story do we embrace? Our theme for today, written boldly, is from power over to power with. We do have power. We all have power. Some of us more than others of us. How do we acknowledge and embrace our own power in positive, life-giving ways, in ways which are not abusive, in ways that bring healing and hope and love to our world? So much to ponder, from power over to power with. I am particularly sensitive to the power that we pastors, even retired pastors, have. We are just now becoming publicly aware that another very major Anabaptist pastor and leader in the greater metropolitan Toronto area has been charged with and has now admitted to using his power for sexual advantage over several women. These stories are not new. They are just all way too frequent. We read again the powerful hymn Paul sent to the Jesus followers in the Philippian church. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Peter, one of those first disciples of Jesus, just really couldn't see this, at least not at first. A few days later, a few days after Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, Peter picked up a sword. And perhaps because he was untrained, only managed to slice off an ear of one of those who had come for Jesus, an ear rather than a head, fortunately. And then he denied even knowing this Jesus who had just been arrested. But gradually, over time, he too had his eyes open to where the power of God was going. Contradicting everything he had been taught, all his religious upbringing, he entered the home of Cornelius, the Gentile, and opened the church to outsiders. A powerful new seeing, a powerful new embrace of God's way of working in our world. From power over to power with. Peter and Cornelius now working together, now working as a team, Jew and Gentile together, showing the world what God was doing, showing the world God's power, showing the power of love. Where do we see the power of God at work today in our lives? In the church, in our world. Where do we need to find partners in furthering God's work in our world? Last week, and Doreen already mentioned this, or I showed it this morning, last week was a rather momentous week in the relationship between Indigenous peoples and the Catholic Church. Finally, there was a papal apology for the horrendous damage done Indigenous children in the residential school system. Lydia and I have had the privilege of hearing some of these kinds of gruesome stories told to us by our son-in-law's parents who survived the residential school system. Said the Pope, For the deplorable conduct of those members of the Catholic Church, I ask for forgiveness, and I want to say to you with all my heart, I am very sorry. And that's very powerful. There is an immense power in confession and in forgiveness. And there were many tears at that point and much embrace of this moment in Rome. Of course, though, for many indigenous leaders, this confession is only a beginning of the healing of relationship, a very important beginning, a first step perhaps, but almost empty if it just stays there. Where, they ask, is the culpability of the church in this? The church as an institution, not only pointing to the abuse of individuals, of individual priests and nuns, the church as a community and as an institution too must be held accountable, not only the abuse of people in the church. Our theology, our power as a church with its institutions must be acknowledged and critically examined. But then, of course, we will have to talk about money, about lawsuits, about financial settlements that will and must come, and will come, I think. And yet the apology is a very much needed and very powerful beginning to the process of There is a huge power in confession and in forgiveness. These are at the heart of expressing love. Loving God, loving our neighbor, loving ourselves, loving even our enemies. Question, does loving our enemies include loving the Russians, many of whom are suffering the loss of their sons in the war? Amber Bracken, a Canadian photographer, won the 2022 World Press Photo of the Year. Her photo, red dresses hang on crosses on a roadside commemorating the children who died at the Kamloops Indian Residential School in BC. A faint rainbow is seen at the edge of the picture, just a hint of hope. The photo is absorbing, powerful, hopeful. There is a donkey in that awful and yet powerful story of Jesus expressing God's love for the whole world, a rainbow, as it were, hope for our world. Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a symbol of peace and of love. There will be a crucifixion, but there will also be a resurrection, the ultimate triumph of that love. O power of love, all else transcending, in Jesus present evermore. Yea, my soul in deep devotion, bathe in love's mighty, boundless ocean. Amen.